Praise the Lord once again. Just wanted to also inform you that Sister Janet George, who's here this morning, her son John had passed away, and the funeral will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Is viewing visitation from 10 until 1. It's the Gunderson Funeral Home on Monona Drive, and then the funeral will be at 1 o'clock. So if you see Sister George here, just make sure you shake her hand and continue to pray for her. We serve an awesome God. How many of you feel freedom? I just feel just such a sweet spirit of God here this morning. You can go ahead and be seated this morning as we get into our Mother's Day message. You may think this isn't much of a Mother's Day message when you start to hear the content of the message, but without a praying mother, I know my father prayed, and many of you prayed for me during some of the tough years in my life. But without a mother that prayed, there's a good chance I wouldn't be here today. And so this is a tribute to all of our mothers who have children that they're kind of struggling with. You ever struggle with your children, mothers? So this is a very special I love you, Mom, because today on this Mother's Day, and I just want my mom to know that I do have a very special mom, and I'm so very thankful. And of course, I want her to know that she has some very special children as well. And, you know, she has some awesome grandkids, and she's got some just incredible great grandkids. And to all the mothers, as well as we have a lot of ladies here that are not, I guess you could say, technically mothers, because they haven't had their own children of their own, but they've giving of themselves. They give of themselves, and they're pouring their lives into the lives of the children that are around them, whether it be family members and such. And I just want to take, and I believe that God will truly smile down on the sacrifice. And I pray that today that God would bless and keep all of our mothers, that God would grant them wisdom, would grant them patience and love, and enable them to navigate and guide those that we love, our children, in the day that we live in. We live in a very difficult day. So for the next few minutes, I would like to speak to you on this topic. House rules still apply. House rules still apply. Our opening scripture, we're going to read from Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14. Jesus is saying, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in whereas. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." It seems to me that our society today, we have a group of people on one side that seemingly simply hates rules. And they don't like rules. They don't like rules that are applied to them. They feel like they're exempt from rules because they just feel that they have no desire, no need to abide by the rules that man has placed upon them or that God has placed upon them. And on the other side, we seem to have folks that love to tell everybody else how to live and how we ought to take and impose all of these rules on the rest of the world. But yet, they seemingly don't want to have those same rules applied to them. And you kind of go back and forth about applying of rules. And we have rules, rules, and more rules. Some kids, as well as people, when growing up, or perhaps all grown up today, it seemed that in our lives, all we had was rules, and we had issues with the rules. We had issues with the folks that instituted the rules, and society as a whole seems to love rules, but they also hate rules. They seem to love it on one side and hate it on the other side. Remember when we were all younger, in our younger years, and we attended school. And there in school, we would have rules that we would have to abide by. Remember Miss Simmons in our English class in junior high, she had a rule. She was very adamant about that rule of no chewing gum and no candy in class. And if you violated that rule, you would have to write 500 sentences. Now, I don't know if you realize how many 500 sentences are, but I spent a lot of my junior high study hall classes writing, I will not chew gum in Miss Simmons' fifth period English class. She had nice long sentences. They had to be legible. She was an English teacher. You couldn't get sloppy with it, or she would reject them. And then you would have to start all over. Speaking of candy, how many of you like tiramisu? We got to talk about food somewhere in this, don't we? Last week, Sister Sue Wittenbach gave my wife and I a little pint, I believe it was, of tiramisu ice cream. It was good. I would have saved you just a little bit, but I didn't have the willpower. So thank you, Sister Sue. It was very good. So we also have rules. Do you ever in a class with a teacher, I mean, you had to raise your hand in order to speak. Anybody ever have a teacher like that? You have to raise your hand. If you want to say something, you just can't blurt it out. You got to raise your hand. And then you have to wait to be called on. And you always had those know-it-all, goody-two-shoot. I don't know if nerds was invented back then, but they would sit on the front row and they would take, and we've all seen this, and they would take their hand, like if this is the desk, and when the teacher would call the question out, they'd have their hand and they'd go like this. You know, me, call me. I'm like, oh, come on. Are you really that anxious to answer this question? I was always in the back. I never put my hand up. I only responded if I was called on. But we always had, so raising your hands, no running in the halls. How many of you ever got a detention for running in the halls? We got one honest person here. Thank you for your honesty. No running. I mean, I look back at the old school days, back in junior high, senior high, and let's just really be honest. It was pretty easy. We had it made. Back then, when we were in junior high, senior high, the worst thing we had to do was get our homework done and get our assignments in. So when we look at this growing up as kids and as we got older, our rules changed. But as we were growing up, we had rules in our house. I believe that our bishop literally loved rules. Now, I'm picking on him a little bit. My mom, you got to understand something. My mom always deferred if we were bad. Mark, I don't know how it was in your house, but my mom would say, "Wait till your dad gets home." And we knew what that meant. So we would clean our rooms, we would clean the bathrooms, we would shine mom's shoes, we would do whatever we could do to get her to forgive us. So that when the bishop came home, all was well. So mom got a lot of extra mileage, I think. Wait till your dad gets home. So we grow up, we had rules of the house. Now, we had rules. To be honest with you, we didn't have a lot of rules. But the rules we had were enforced. And I remember it was like every Saturday we had to clean our bedrooms. And I shared a bedroom with my brother Steve. John, he was the oldest. He got his own room. But I shared with my brother Steve. And to Steve, cleaning his room was just repositioning his junk. He would reposition it from his bed, from his headboard, from the dresser to under the bed.
When Steve started out, we had twin beds. His bed sat about this high off the floor. By the time he was in junior high, it was about this high. And by the time senior high, you had to have a ladder to get up onto it because he kept packing stuff under his bed. Mom would come in and she would look under the beds and would have to get underneath there and would have to clean all of that stuff out. And Steve, on our twin beds, I don't know when you're growing up, how many of you had those twin beds that had the little drawers that would slide back and forth? So you kind of had a little stash spot there. And, you know, mine was full of books because I love to read. Mom and Dad bought us each a flashlight one year, so we all had a flashlight. So I loved to read, and Mom and Dad would say, lights out. I'd go under the covers, and I'd read with my flashlight. One night, I'm sleeping, and I'm waking up by a flashlight. And here my brother Steve is sitting over in his bed, sitting up, and I'm looking at him, and he's eating a piece of pizza. And I asked him, I said, Steve, what are you eating? He says, pizza. I said, where'd you get that? He said, I saved it. I said, well, see, he stashed food in his little cubbies. And he had stashed food in there. Well, the only problem was it was like 2-3 days earlier when we had pizza. But he didn't care. I said, Steve, I said, that was like 2 days ago we had pizza. He's like, I don't care, I like cold pizza. You know, so rules. We had, now Mom and Dad, they didn't mind if we ate in our bedroom, but I don't think they would have allowed that if they knew what Steve ate and what he stashed and how long some of that stuff had been in there. So we had rules. We all started to get older and the rules changed. And my dad implemented some rules of dating. How many of you had rules when you were dating? Yeah, we had rules. And I didn't hate very many rules, but I hated curfew. I hated it. How many of your parents put a curfew on you? Okay, now let me ask you something. How many of you hated the curfew? Okay, keep your hands up. This gets better. How many of you that hated the curfew have a curfew imposed on your children? And how many of them hate it? Lori, I don't think you're telling the truth. You never heard a cat a curfew for Carl and the boys? Yeah. They're out of your house now? Oh, so she's... I'm talking about at any point in time of being a mother. So we had curfew. I didn't like curfews. But we found out, my brother John and I, we worked together on this, that we could actually come in late. And Dad, it's just like, I don't know if he had like one of those seismic sensors in the house. He could tell when the doors closed, and we picked up on that. So we would leave our windows open. Now, we had a raised ranch, so we had a story and a half. And we could climb in through the bedroom window, quickly get undressed, and get in bed. And it wasn't until years later Dad figured out that, why in the world are all those scuff shoe marks on the side of the house? And it was kind of funny because we're sitting around dinner table one night. Of course, we're all married now, and we're talking about some of the rules that we used to break, and we told some of our secrets. And I thought he knew everything, and I found out that he really didn't. So, sounds like I'm picking more on my dad here than my mom today, but I guess I am. But, you know, and as we grow up, we have rules that we had, and we impose those rules or we apply those rules in our own families. Now, my mom and dad, or my mom especially, she made us clean our room. And we had one child, and it's Lana, and I don't see her here today. Marvin's here, but you know, when she was 3-4 years old, she was just a pig in her bedroom. Okay, and I mean it was a disaster. And my wife worked hard, and she'd come home, and every Saturday they would go in, and she had all these little Tupperware totes. And she'd put all of her dolls in one and all of the Legos in one. And she'd put all of her, everything was in a tote. By the end of the week, it was all over the place again. And one day I got tired of this and I told my wife, I said, listen, I said, you're not going to go in there and argue with a 4-year-old about cleaning their room. So either we're going to win this battle now or we're going to lose it for eternity. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go in there, and anything that's left on the floor come Saturday morning is going in a garbage bag. Now, I'm not going to really throw it away, but I'm going to let her think I threw it away. So I came in, I told Lana the rules. I came in that very next Saturday, and guess what went in the garbage bag? She had all of her Land Before Time toys out. She had a number of stuffed animals out. I picked them all up, put them in a garbage bag, and says, these are going in the trash. And, oh, you talk about weeping and wailing. She cried and cried and cried.
Daddy, it's my Land Before Time.
I don't know all of the names of all of these creatures now, but I mean, she was just like, I can't believe that you're doing this to me, Dad. I put them all in a trash bag and I took them out to our storage shed. I put them up on the top shelf of the storage shed. Now, the funny thing is, 25 years later, we're moving. I go into that same storage shed and there's this bag and I'm like, what in the world is in this bag? And I open it up and what do you suppose I found? So Lana, hon, I really didn't throw them away. And I want to give them back to you today. Other than she's not here. So Marvin, would you come please? On behalf of Lana. And I want to give her back her toys all those years ago. Now, I will tell you, if you if you go to my daughter's house and you open up her children's closets, she went overboard on the organization side of things, all right? So we had rules. We had rules. And when we look up the word rule, the first thing that pops into your head or popped into my head and such was the word law. And we look at rules, we look at laws. Laws are simply regulations in which we as a society are to live by. Now, we can have many different variations depending upon the situations, and if we want to live in a civilized world, we need rules. And we need laws, and we need laws that we can all agree on, and laws that we can all live by. And I hear it all the time. I don't like the law. I don't like this. And what you're really saying is when I'm told to do something that I don't like, or something I do not agree with. Yet on the other hand, if it's my rule or if it's my law, then you got to agree with it. And when we look at all of this, now I went on a little bit of a fact-finding mission to try to determine how many laws we have in America. The closest I could come to, they said over 2 million laws. They weren't for sure. But I did find out that in 2010... At the beginning of 2010, January 1st, 40,000 new laws hit the books on January 1st, 2010. That's a lot of laws. I was amazed that we have over 70,000 pages of tax law. And we wonder why we can't figure out how to fill out our income taxes. We have 70,000 pages of rules and regulations. I was amazed to find out we hear about gun control and all of this. We have over 20,000 laws on the books in America dealing with guns and gun control. 20,000! I don't think you can look at one without breaking a law. We have 20,000 of them, yet we have such a problem with them. But I want to challenge you this morning and let you know that rules and laws were not man's idea. God implemented law. I recently read a piece about the Ten Commandments, 10 rules that God expects society to live by. Not just Christians to live by, but society to live by. Now think about this. God says, I'm going to give you 10 rules to live by. 10. Just 10. And on January 1st, 2010, 40,000 new rules came into effect that we are to live by. How many of you know what those 40,000 new rules are? Does anybody have any idea how many laws that we have, that millions of them now, that we are to live by as humanity, in as citizens of this country? So you think about this. 10 rules God says I want to give you to live by. Now, I don't know what you think, but when I start to look at some of these, I think no stealing is a pretty good idea. How many of you would like to come to church and when you go out to get your car's gone? You don't like that. You come up to pray at the altar and your purse is gone, or you go to the store and somebody steals your phone or steals your wallet. I think that when God says, thou shalt not steal, that was a pretty good law. Also, we have, thou shalt not kill. I like that law. I don't want to kill anybody, and I don't want anybody to kill me. But we have 20,000 laws just about guns, not anything else. That's just guns alone. And how many people kill one another? So I think that honoring your parents, honoring your father, honoring your mother is a really good law. I think that if everyone honored their mother and father, that all would go well in their life. I believe that keeping the Sabbath day and keeping it holy is a good law. I like that one. God gave us 10. I think it's a good idea for men and for women to stay away from each other's husbands or wives. I think that thou shalt not commit adultery is a good law. It's a good rule to live by. I engaged in a conversation some time back about a lady, talking to a lady, and she was talking about the Ten Commandments. And we came to the one about adultery. And she said, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, is it really that bad? I said, well, let me ask you a question. If your neighbor's husband is cheating on his wife, does that affect you? She said, well, that's the thing. It doesn't affect me, so what do I care? I said, what if his wife is cheating on her husband? She says, I don't care. That's their problem. But I said, what if your husband is the one she's cheating with? That's the problem. She says, I'd kill him. I said, now you just broke another commandment. You see, 10 commandments. God gave us law to better society, to keep society on track. So we have law. We have God's law. And God's ways are so clear. His ways are so clean and they're so simple. And yet we continually, as a society, as a people, refuse to follow God's law. And we're constantly fighting with God. Years ago, there was a game. It was called, I think Milton Bradley developed the game, and it was called Life. How many of you remember playing that, Life? You know what? I hated that game. I don't know about you, but it was depressing. I mean, you're a teenager and you're in junior high and you're playing Life and you got 6 kids, your car's broke down, you're back paying your rent, you owe money to the insurance company, you just lost your job. What? That's not a game, that's reality. I don't want to play that. But you know, every house was this way. When you played Uno, how many of you played Uno? You had house rules, didn't you? Monopoly was a good one for house rules. Nobody that I know of ever played Monopoly according to the original rules. They always had house rules. Well, that when you're playing in this house, these are the rules of this house. You play Yahtzee, this is how we play it here. I've even played euchre and some of those card games, and we go around to different people's houses. And I'm amazed that the way I play, it's not the way everybody else plays it, because there's house rules. You see, house rules, you can take the rules, you can tweak them, and you can change them to suit your own idea on how you want to play the game. But I want you to understand one thing this morning, that we are in a game. It's really not a game, But we are in a game that's called life. And we play by house rules. And house rules are God's rules. It doesn't matter. When we read in Genesis 1:1, we read that God is the creator. All we are, all we see, all the world, everything in it belongs to Him. He set these rules up because He says these are the house rules. These 10 commandments I'm giving you, I don't care if you don't like them, but these are house rules. When you're in my universe, you play my way. If you don't like it in my universe, go create your own and play it how you want to play it. And we're all here because we don't have the ability to do that. You see, we play by His rules because He created the world. He put the stars and the planets into motion. He gave us life. He formed relationships. He created love. He told us how to have a relationship with Him. And He loved us so much that He came here on earth, came down to earth, became a man. And He died for the sins of humanity. And He gave us power. When He left here, He says, I'm not going to just leave you. I'm going to leave you with some power. And He gave us power in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You see, God is smarter than we are. And He's offered you and I eternal life. Eternal life if we trust Him and if we live for Him. But if we don't like His rules, and if we don't live by His rules, then it doesn't apply to us. We can't make heaven our home if we want to lie, cheat, and steal. If we haven't repented of our sins, been baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, I didn't make these rules. He made them. We live in His house. We live in His universe. We breathe His air. You can argue all you want to with me, but I'm going to have to take you back to this book and say, you got to prove this book wrong. You see, I don't always understand God. I don't understand why He does things the way He does things. And I want to be honest with you. I don't always agree with God. I wrote a message some time ago in a frustrating time in my life. God, I don't agree with You. Because there are times I just didn't agree with God because I didn't understand. I didn't get what God was trying to do and it frustrated me. You see, the world might say differently than what God says. And that doesn't make any sense to the world. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense to me, but God's rules are the right rules. And whether you like it or not, we will be judged by God's rules. We're not going to be judged by the Constitution of the United States. We're not going to be judged by our articles of faith. I just lost my train of thought here. All of the amendments. What are those Bill of Rights? We're not going to be judged by our Bill of Rights. You know, we have all of these rights that our Constitution gives to us. God's not going to sit us all down and say, okay, well, you know, you're from America, so I'm going to judge you this way. And, oh, you're from South America, or you're from Brazil, or you're from Germany. No, when God sits down, we're all going to be judged by the same book. We're going to be judged by His rules, His house rules. We read in the New Testament, we read a story of a young man, and many of us know this story quite well. And he no longer desired to live under the rules of the house. We read this in Luke 15, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. And I'm going to be kind of interjecting in this. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, hey, Dad, you know what? I've been here a long time. All my life. I don't know any other house. Don't know any other dad. This is all I know. But you know what, Dad? I'm kind of tired of living under your rules. I'm kind of fed up with them. You make me do things I think stupid. You make me do things that are dumb, that don't make a whole lot of sense to me. So here's what I want. I want my inheritance. I want all that's coming to me because I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go do my own thing, Dad. So the father, he divided them his living. Not many days after, the young son gathered all of it together. I can just see as he goes through the house and he starts telling all the servants, oh, you just wait. You just wait. Bill Gates got nothing on me. Steve Jobs and Apple. I'm going to be the next star of the world. Everybody's going to be looking at me. I'm going to be the next Facebook owner. Zuckerman. I'm going to be it. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to take my inheritance. And man, you just wait and see. He gathered it all and he took it into a far country. And there, he didn't invest his funds, Brother Hawk. He became addicted to drugs and alcohol and crazy wild women. I know the Bible doesn't say all of this, but it says riotous living. Kind of fits in that category. Before you knew it, all his inheritance, everything he had, was gone. You see, he reached a point, and I want you to understand this morning, he reached a point where that the protection of the Father's house was no longer upon his life. Now it's easy sometimes to live under the protection of the Father's house. Because I believe that if your parents are good, God-fearing Christians, that as you live under that house, you're living under the protection of that presence that's on that house. But when you leave that house and you get out and you're doing your own thing, you notice it didn't happen immediately. We don't read that the very next day, he's broke. His money's gone. It was after a period of time that protection, God began to lift his protection off of that young man. And where do we find him? And when he had spent all that he had, there arose a mighty famine in the land. We could look at it this way. Recession hit. Lost his job. Lost his apartment. Lost his car. Bills are piling up. Credit cards. And those credit cards are maxed out. He's got nothing left. And here he finds himself knocking on the door of a pig farmer. And he says, hey, listen, I'll watch your pigs if you just let me eat what they're eating. You see, this is how it goes when we walk away from the Father's house and we no longer desire to live by house rules. Now we're living by the rules of the world. So here he finds himself filling his belly with husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. But I love verse 17. And then he came to himself. Something began to change in his life. Something began to change in his heart, in his mind. He began to think, you know what? If I could go back to Dad's house, if I could go back to Mom's house, if I could go back to the house that I grew up in, if I could just get my way back, even the people that clean the house, the housekeepers, the gardeners, man, even they have more than I have. So he decided to rise and go back to his father. And when he got back to his father, he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy
to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.
And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said, the son said unto his father, he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. You know that robe I've been saving? You know that robe that I bought? I want you to bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And I want you to bring back the family ring, the family seal that when he left, he threw it at my feet. Said, I don't need this anymore. I'm going and doing my own thing. I want you to bring that ring back. I want you to bring a good pair of shoes too. And I want you to kill the fatted calf. And we're going to eat. And we're going to be merry. And we're going to welcome home this lost son. You see, we have to understand something. That there's safety. There is safety in the Father's house. There is safety in this house this morning where you are sitting. And the son came to himself and he went back home. But understand something, when he went back home, he found out that the rules of the house still applied. Because the father lived by integrity and character. And if the rules of the house did not apply, then the integrity of the house was in danger. You see, God says to us here today, you can leave anytime you want. You can walk out of these doors anytime you desire to walk out. And the only reason I share this portion with you this morning is because that's exactly the story of my life. I grew up in this church. I sat in the same pews. I listened to the same sermons. And I no longer wanted to live by the rules of the house. And I said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do my own thing. I want to make my own way in life. And I found out one thing, that it's not always so easy on the other side. There's the old saying, the grass may be greener on the other side of the fence, but it still has to be mowed. And I found out that the grass on the other side of the fence wasn't quite as green as I thought it would be. And as time began to wear on, my heart began to harden, and I began to distance myself from God and my family. I didn't want anything to do. I didn't like coming to church because every time I came to church, I felt like the pastor, which was happened to be my father, was preaching right at me. I felt like, yeah, he knows me. He's preaching at me and he's saying all of this stuff just so he can take and get at me. And I'd go home and I'd get angry. I'd go down to his house and have supper and lunch, different family functions. And he'd never talk about church. He'd never talk about God. He talked about cows and horses. And I'd go home and I'd get mad. And I'd tell my wife, yeah, went down there and Dad never mentioned church one time. He just talked about horses and cows. And my wife says if he talked about church, he'd come home angry because he talked about church. You see, that's the danger when you leave the Father's house and you start to live by the rules of the world. Because there's the rules of the world. There's so many. You don't even know what they all are. We don't even know what they all are. And they shift and they change. You see, but I had this come to myself time in my life where that God began to speak with me. And when God speaks, when God talks to you, when God says, listen, I'm done playing games. I'm done playing games. You want to live by the rules of the world? Then you know what? I'm going to turn you over to the rules of the world. And I'll let you live by those rules. And I remember that moment when God spoke so strongly that I've called you and called you and called you, and I'm done calling you. I'm done messing around with you, Roy. I'm going to move on. You don't want to live in my house. You don't want to live by my rules. Then you can live by the rules of the world. You can allow the world to just eat you up. The world, listen, it doesn't love you out there like the Father loves you. You notice the pig farmer didn't invite the young man into his house and take him in and say, let me take care of you. You can eat at my table. He says, no! I'm selfish! There's only enough food for me and my family. You can eat with the pigs. That's the way the rules of the world read. But you see, understand one thing. When I left home, when I left the Father's house, I left that protection. And the world began to take a toll on my life. The weight began to become stronger and stronger till I could no longer bear the heaviness. And I said, God, something's got to give. I can't do this anymore. You see, I can leave on my terms. I can leave the way I want to leave. But when I come back to the Father's house, I come back under His terms. If you could stand to your feet this morning. You see, Jesus said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into my house. Those are my house rules. You see, my problem was I didn't want to repent. You know why I didn't want to repent? Because I didn't want to admit that I was doing anything wrong. I was prideful. And I allowed that pride to build up. Listen, it'll kill you. It'll destroy you. You see, the enemy, he doesn't love you. He doesn't. All is on the enemy's mind is to destroy you. Your life. That's it. That's what his sole goal in life is to destroy you. And the Father's sole goal in life is to seek and to save you. But you see, when you come back to the Father's house, you come back to his rules. And his rules start with repentance. With repentance. You don't get anywhere. I couldn't go anywhere in God until I bowed my knees and I began to cry out and I began to face the fact, Brother Hawk, that I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And all of those people I used to look at would come into the church and have all of these problems and all these issues, and times I'd even make fun of them. I found myself in the same position with pride and with arrogance. I had to fall on my face and I had to repent. So on this Mother's Day, what better day than to start a new life, a new chapter of your life, is to let all of the old past and let it all go. There's nothing in it worth keeping. And start out with a new chapter. So I want to invite you to come down to this altar this morning as our altar workers can come. If you've never repented of your sins, you've never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've never spoken in tongues, you've never been baptized, won't you come home? Won't you come home this morning? The Master's waiting. But understand, you just can't live life the way you feel like living it. There's going to be some rules that are going to be applied. We have to live by His rules. The house rules still apply. Maybe you've grown a little cold in God. You've allowed situations and circumstances to creep in your life. You haven't totally walked away from God, but you know you're not where you need to be. Understand, it all starts with repentance. It all starts with saying, God, would you just forgive me? I'm sorry, God. I want to just start over. That's the awesome thing about God. We can start over fresh and new. A new life, a new slate, fresh and clean. But understand, the house rules, they still apply. Won't you come this morning? A healing in your body this morning. If you're sick in body, I want to invite you down for prayer.